Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening, Think Big Radio listeners. My name is Felton Wooten, and I'm one of the Monday night radio hosts. And we've got an exciting program tonight. Reverend Dr. Lorraine Cohen is our guest, and the topic tonight is how to maintain prosperity consciousness no matter what is going on in your life. Are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I hear you just fine. I hear you just fine.
Wonderful. I actually changed phones to ensure that the volume and the quality would come through really clear.
Yes. And are you hearing me okay?
I am hearing you okay.
Great, great. Well, what I'd like to do is just tell our audience a little bit about you.
Okay.
And, again, we're just real excited to have you with us tonight. Reverend Dr. Lorraine Cohen is CEO and founder of Powerful Living, an organization dedicated to business development and personal enrichment. She brings more than 20 years' experience in life and business coaching, psychological and spiritual counseling, and sales experience to thousands of spiritually minded entrepreneurs, business owners, professionals, and leaders from a wide range of industries. A published writer, inspirational speaker and broadcaster, she is recognized as a cutting-edge expert in her field, coaching people to have greater business success and personal happiness in their life. An expert in breaking through fear and removing barriers to success, she shows people how to get unstuck, to break through the confusion and roadblocks so that they can move forward in all areas of their life. And I think this is just a timely topic tonight, especially with what our world and our country is going through.
Absolutely. You know, when I had originally submitted something, Felton, it was a slightly different topic, although I feel it probably would have lent itself to some of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so when I had an opportunity to send the information in, it felt very, very timely to really focus on tonight's topic, which is so much on the forefront of people's minds.
Yes, you're right. Well, let's start off. What does having a positive prosperity outlook mean?
Well, you know, I think, Felton, I logged on, and as you can hear, we just opened up the chat room. You know, having a prosperity consciousness is probably going to mean some slightly different things to a lot of people, but I think that what we can all agree is that when we are observing life through a set of eyes that is seeing life experiences as possibilities rather than problems, the experiences that call us to ask some different questions from why is this happening to me to what is this experience asking of me to become? What quality is asking to emerge? And how can I use this situation to my benefit to not only grow myself and also grow my business? Then we can shift from feeling victimized by life experiences to become champions of our life.
Right, right. Gosh, that is so important.
Yes.
And how does one create and maintain no matter what is happening in their lives?
Well, you know, there are certain practices that I think is really important, and these are just, I would say, about seven things that, you know, I want to mention that we can also talk about a little bit more in depth. The whole idea of being in trust and faith is something that is very much talked about right now, and I know that some people say, well, that's easier said than done. You know, when things are going well, it's easy to stay in trust and faith, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And then when things are feeling a little bit scary, then that's where we start to really listen to the chatter in our minds, and we fall prey to our egos, the conversations from our ego, and we get lost in some of that dialogue. And what happens is we start to disconnect from our spirit and we start to align with our ego, which is oftentimes focused on worst-case scenarios. And so there's that's really a good reason why it's so important for people to be practicing ways to be in trust and faith. And one of the ways that we do that is by having spiritual practices, whether it's meditation, some spiritual reading every day, those things that keep us connected to our spirit and our inner wisdom, I think, becomes not just something that we think that we're going to do. I think it becomes a foundation, one of the foundational pieces upon which we stand that keeps us strong, that keeps our attitude in the place that we want it to be. And when we can also put our attention on the people and things that keep us uplifted and strong, I always say to people, who are the, who brings you joy? Who are the people that bring out your best? And to stay in relationship with those people on an ongoing basis, whether it's buddying up with somebody or being part of a mastermind group or just the community that you continue to stay connected to on a regular basis, so that when you have those dips during the course of your day, which we all do from time to time, you know, there have been a number of times when I've reached out to my business partner to talk me down off the ledge when I just, feel myself starting to fall into some of that fearful thinking. You take a deep breath, and sometimes we just need somebody outside of ourselves that we respect, that we love, that oftentimes we believe what they say when they remind us when we're caught in the grips of our own dramas and stories. They remind us to remember what we're forgetting in that moment. Find something good to appreciate in each experience as you go through your day, even if it's something that's undesired, to look for what that gift or what that blessing might be. And that might be a little challenging sometimes, where there may be something going on and you all you can think of is what good can possibly come from this. You'd be amazed when you open your mind to looking at where there might be a gift and blessing, and it might be that it's challenging you to step out of your comfort zone. It mm-hmm. might be inviting you to speak up about something that you've been resistant. It may be handling some things that you've been trying to avoid. When you can look at those life experiences from a different set of eyes, again, it invites you to come back to shifting from a victim to more of a hero of your own life story. Celebrate all the gifts, miracles, and blessings that come to you. Look for opportunities to be generous with your time, your energy, and your money to help somebody else. That's an incredible way to really magnetize good to yourself when you look for opportunities to help somebody else. And I would say the last thing is to focus on what you love and cherish. Come back to the essence of what you value and to ask yourself regularly, am I making choices that are aligned with my values? Am I making choices that are moving me towards what I desire or away from them?
Good point. And I guess with all of the questions that you've shared in this dialogue, it's probably good for a person to write them down.
I think that any time that we can write something down, because so often, Felton, we're so close to our own stuff.
Right.
And, when we can create those visible means, it might be that you create a vision board or you make statements. On one of my websites, which is isayyes.com, there's a video movie which is about 4 or 5 minutes that was professionally created for me that's about making declarations. I say yes to stepping into the next and highest version of who I'm meant to be. And the response has been absolutely incredible. And I've invited people to create their own I say yes manifesto of not only asking themselves, what am I ready to say yes to? Am I ready to step into the next and highest version of who I'm meant to be? And to write it down as statements so that as you go through your day, you can reflect as you're taking actions, making different decisions, are they in alignment with those statements? Because we know We can feel inside when we've left ourselves, you know, and that just gives us fodder to beat ourselves up, and nobody can do it better than we can.
You're right. You're so right about that. Well, at this point, why don't we, if you don't mind sharing, if any of our listening audience would like to get in touch with you, how would you have them do that?
Well, that would be fantastic, and thank you so much for inviting me to do that. My website is powerful with two L's, very deliberately to be full of power, hyphen living, LIVING.biz, powerful hyphen living.biz. And they can also check out the other website that I mentioned, which is isayyes.com.
All right. That's great. That's great. Now, a few things that you've mentioned, this, especially the chatter in our mind and being aligned with the ego, how does negative self-talk affect people's ability to keep a positive attitude?
You know, I think that our negative self-talk, again, which is coming from our ego, and I'm not suggesting that we give our ego a bad rap, you know, because there is a brilliance between using our minds for the reason in which it was gifted to us, and that is to assess, to reason, to make some good decisions. Now, what's happened over time is that we have become identified with our egos, and a lot of the messages that we get through the chatter in our minds is usually motivated by fear that creates more and more angst and more problems. And when we can begin to recognize those messages, and one of the reasons why we don't necessarily recognize that message is because we're not present. We're so busy moving around and really not coming back into the present moment, that we begin to believe the fears and the, you know, whatever other messages are coming through our own internal conversations, and we start to make decisions based on those conversations, which are rooted in imagination. They're not reality-based. They're rooted in worst-case scenarios, what-ifs. When we're in fear, Felton, that is usually because our focus is on the future, on things that have not happened, and that's another reason why it's so important for us to come back to the present, to breathe, to come into our bodies, to look around, and to realize that what we have been thinking is not necessarily based on what's real in this moment. And the truth is that this moment is the only moment that we have.
Right, right.
So when we can start to realize that we're being guided by a part of ourselves that isn't really who we are, and we are listening to those messages as if it was accurate and based on the truth, it's time for us to begin to challenge those messages, to learn how to do that, and also understand that so many of the beliefs that we have are coming from our subconscious rather than our conscious mind. In fact, what a lot of people don't realize is that about 12% of their conscious mind is really coming from their critical faculty, and the other 88% is estimated to be coming from their subconscious, which is why when people are working with declarations and affirmations, they wonder why they're not making the shifts that they want, because it's not getting deep enough. It's only working with 12% of their consciousness, and they're trying to use that amount to topple 88%. Doesn't work.
Wow. That's
pretty
truly amazing.
It is, isn't it? And then, you know, then they wonder why am I sabotaging myself? Why am I procrastinating on this? I think I'm doing everything right, because there's an aspect that they're not reaching, which is why it's so important to be working with tools and resources and even professionals who have the skills to help you to access making those shifts on a subconscious level, and to also process whatever emotions are associated with it. So many people are looking for these quick fixes. I just want instant gratification. I don't want to feel anything. I just want to get there. And we are here as spiritual beings in a physical body. which means that we are meant to experience life through our emotions. That's where so much of our juice is. And each time we try to get rid of them, we actually give them more energy.
Mm. Wow. And that certainly, and I know that will certainly create lots of dramas in our life.
You bet.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I guess with that, how does it impact and affect people's attitudes and their behaviors?
Well, what I have found from the many people, I've had my own business for over 20 years, and I've worked with quite a number of people originally coming from the recovery area. And so
yeah.
I've become accustomed to really working with people who are very deeply hurt. And I have found that the negative self-talk, the dramas and the stories have literally overwhelmed so many people so that the quality of their life is very pain-driven, as opposed to joy-driven. And I truly believe that our lives are meant to be happy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're living in constant pain and frustration, which so many people are, in so much fear that they're literally cutting themselves off, not intentionally, from so much joy and abundance that the universe wants to give to them. It's almost as if, you know, you have this, just imagine this person that has this feast, wants to give it to you, and without realizing it, you've thrown up your hands and said, no, thank you. Maybe you're afraid to take it or you don't feel that you deserve it, and you're actually existing on what I call living on crumbs and bones.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a way of life. So I really feel that in order to say yes to who you are meant to be takes a lot of chops, a lot of courage,
mm-hmm.
to be willing to roll up your sleeves, to be uncomfortable at those times, and sometimes it is very uncomfortable, without running back and playing it safe, because when you can go the distance and you have the resources, the systems, and the people, the support, you go and get help where you need it to get to the other side, that's where you start experiencing heaven on earth. That's where we step into our own power as champions, as deliberate creators. You have to be willing to go that distance to deal with the shadow parts of yourself where there's a lot of power and a lot of pain locked in, which isn't who you are.
Right. And you're right, because I certainly know that we get comfortable and we get used to doing things a certain way, and those
yeah.
fears continue to drive us. So I guess what kind of tips could you give to our audience? Again, I know, like you said, the subconscious and the fears are constantly driving the individuals, and we do it well. So what kind of tips could you suggest?
Well, you know, before I get to the tips, I just wanted to share a quick story, if I may.
Oh, sure.
And that is, I'm kind of living everything that I'm talking right now,
uh-huh.
as I have many, many times. And, I have talked so much about fear because I think that right now fear and unworthiness are probably two of the biggest blocks that are facing a lot of people who are struggling in their life. And,
yeah.
I remember a period of time about 10 years ago where I had been feeling as if I was at a very pivotal point in my business, that what the work that I was doing, which was very much in the recovery counseling, I'm also an ordained spiritual minister as well as a spiritual coach, and I felt that I was at a crossroads and I didn't know what was next, and I took some risks at that time. I bought a house and fully expected that my business, which was really thriving at the time, would continue. And inside of several months, it started to shrink, which really threw me into a tailspin. And instead of looking at that as a blessing, I really saw that as a very terrifying period. It was probably one of the scariest periods that I had ever experienced. And I remember that during that time, and I was in and out of feeling empowered and on my knees sobbing, and having that sense of my humanity being absolutely scared the bejeebies, and the spiritual part of myself, because I've been on a spiritual journey for all of my life, and so that aspect of myself is very strong, of being able to experience things from a duality, the spiritual aspect of yourself and the human part, you know, of yourself that is just absolutely freaking out, while this spiritual part is very wise, saying this is good, all is well, that I was able to draw on at that point in time. And I remember that there was a PBS drive, and Deepak Chopra was on, and he was talking about an experience that he had with his son, who was very prosperous, as is, you know, Deepak Chopra. And he said to his son, it was around Christmas time, and he said, "What do you wish for in the coming year?" And his son said, I wish for another year of uncertainty. And I remember in the space that I was in, which was a lot of pain, that all I kept thinking was, are you out of your mind? You're wishing for another year of uncertainty, because normally we associate uncertainty with, you know, terrible things happening, problems, dramas. And I was just horrified to hear that anybody might wish for that. And
right?
So as I listened to that more, there was a new perspective that came that was incredibly freeing, and that was, if everything in our life stayed the same and there was no newness whatsoever, what would the quality of your life be like? And so instead of looking at uncertainty as inevitably ending in something terrible happening, what if we looked at it a different way, as opportunities for limitless possibilities, some of which could be absolutely incredibly wonderful? If we could just approach it from a different vantage point, then we would look at life from a different set of eyes. And from that moment, my whole attitude about where I was began to shift.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one tip that I would say to people is, how are you looking at your life experience? Are you looking at it through the eyes of, oh, God, what's going to happen to me next? Or are you looking at it from, oh, boy, what's going to happen next?
Right.
Totally different attitude. And when we get excited about possibilities, we're going to start to attract more and more wonderful things. And this takes a lot of practice, Felton. I certainly don't want to suggest to people who are listening that this is just something that you just decide that you're going to do, you know, because we do fall into our own patterns. So this takes practice, and this also takes really working with making those shifts on a subconscious level. A lot of the things that I've already mentioned, gratitude, working with gratitude. And I would also add that part of the foundational pieces to really coming from a place of strength is making sure that you have a strong self-care regime. And that is not something that I find that a lot of people do, because, you know, I know I'm putting out a lot of information, and if people are listening and just writing a mile a minute, I know that these calls are recorded. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. That when you are taking the time to feed your spirit, to nurture your body, and that includes exercise and spiritual practices and listening and tuning into what your body needs and setting boundaries where you need to. I mean, this is a whole big picture. When you are implementing the things that create self-value, self-love, then how you experience things also become less reactive. In fact, I tell people repeatedly, when you find yourself really hearing that your internal chatter is the volume has become louder and there's greater activity and you find yourself more irritable and reactive, one of the things to look at is, have you been taking care of your needs? Are you listening to what you need to do? Because if you're not, you're going to feel that. And, you know, we've grown up in this society with this message that in order to be a really good person and to be well thought of, then the idea of being selflessly giving is really important. And I would encourage people who are listening to this to think of just what that means to be selfless, to be less than self.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't honor ourselves, we also are encouraging people to dishonor themselves. And for people who are wondering why they feel exhausted, why they're not feeling at their best, and they are giving all the time and not giving anything back to themselves, then what we're really creating is an empty vessel. And if we don't fill ourselves up and we keep operating on empty, then that's where the potential for psychological problems and illness begins to foster.
Right, right. And I can imagine a lot of that self-talk will surface during those periods of time.
Absolutely. And burnout is very, very real. And, you know, one of the statements that I've made for a lot of years that I've said it enough times that I hope I start getting quoted on that, and that is that when you don't take care of yourself, then the people in people in your life who you care about don't get the best of you. They get what's left of you.
Wow.
And then we wonder why we feel so unhappy. So I invite people who have a rigid, a limiting, a negative definition of being self-ish, to mean selfish. And I'm not talking about always putting yourself first and not giving anything for anybody else. I'm not talking about being hedonistic. What
right.
I am talking about is starting to change the way in which we look at relationships and creating self-love. Who said that we have to choose that if we give to another that we can give nothing to ourselves? I would invite people to put the word "and" in there. I can show up for others and I can show up for myself.
Right.
And for people who are parents, think about the model that you're setting for your children, that, you know, if they see you as somebody who doesn't take care of themselves, is that what you want to teach them? Is that what you want to see, you know, want them to see, is that other people matter more than they do? And I know that that can, you know, really be eye-opening for a lot of parents, but that's exactly how we have come to sustain this whole idea about being selfish for generations. And it's time. We're living in a new world. We're living in a new paradigm. And the way in which we are operating needs to change. And we are, the essence of who we are is love. And if we are not giving love to ourselves, then we can't truly give love to another, because it comes from the inside out. And if we're empty inside and we're shriveled up inside, then we're just going through the motions of being loving to another person, but we can't really know what it feels like to come from that deep sense of love when we withhold it from ourselves. And I know there are reasons for why people have come to that space, and that's why for anybody looking to heal and to really step back into the essence of who they are, there's not been a better time on the planet for people to be able to make those kinds of changes within themselves, and it takes guts to do it.
Right, right. Well, I think this may be another opportunity for you to share with our listening audience, again, those who joined us, how to get in touch with you.
Well, I would love to do that. And, you know, I'm on the Blog Talk page. I just wanted to say I haven't been able to find out how to get into the chat room. So if there are any questions, I don't know if there are people in the chat room, so if they want to contact me, as well as anybody who archives these, who gets the recording, you can reach me at powerful, with two L's, powerful, hyphen, that's a dash, living, L-I-V-I-N-G, .biz. And also visit my website, isayyesnow.com. And I also want to invite people to visit, I have an upcoming program which is called Aligning with Destiny. It's a 13-week kick-butt, incredibly transformational program that has helped people to break through a lot of blocks, very much everything that I've talked about tonight, to really support people in aligning with their destiny. And it's one of the most incredible programs I've ever had the privilege of creating. And it's starting on September 8th. And, you know, I just encourage people to go over to that website. It's Aligning with Destiny, DESTINY.com, Aligning with Destiny. And also, if you go onto my website or if you want to contact me directly, we have two intro calls tomorrow night with 11 of the most incredibly successful teachers and luminaries. I'm including myself on that and my partner, Anita Petit-Claw. We're doing two live panel calls tomorrow night and Thursday night. And if you email me through my site and ask me for what that link is, I will send that link. They will be recorded, and they're going to be incredible calls.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Because I certainly know people, as human beings, we have fears and we want to get over them. And it's not easy breaking through those fears.
Right. Well, you know, when I hear people talking about fear, they usually say to me, how do I get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to remind people of, Felton, is that fear serves a purpose. That if we did not have any experience with fear whatsoever, excuse me, then we might very easily put ourselves in harm's way. We might not recognize any sense of danger, and we might not be able to set boundaries, which is part of how we stay safe in our life and how we separate ourselves from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are experiencing fear, that's one of the first things that I say to them is, are you trying to get rid of it? Now, I'm a firm believer that, you know, when fear shows up or any emotion shows up, that feelings aren't good or bad, they're just feelings. And to look at a person's comfort level with feeling things, and a lot of people, I find, are uncomfortable feeling things that are uncomfortable.
Mm,
they just want to feel good all the time. And part of being alive is feeling the scope of feelings. You know, I think that grief is one of the most beautiful emotions. I know that's uncomfortable for a lot of people, but, you know, grieving means that we have loved.
Mm-hmm.
And the sadness is really a tribute to the love that we have allowed ourselves to feel and share with other people. And if we did not grieve deeply for the significant people in our life, then that means that they weren't significant, that we could so easily dismiss their passing. And while it's uncomfortable, it's a brilliant way that the body has come up with helping us to come to a place of closure and peace, to bring that pain outside in the form of liquid, if it comes out that way, so that the body can release it.
Right.
And the key is that there's a difference between feeling something and processing it and honoring it and releasing it and wallowing in it, you know, where we start to build four walls and a roof and we make that our permanent residence, where we can get stuck in there. So when we're having feelings, we're meant to have them and not to fear them. And also to look at hanging on to them. And, you know, there isn't a clear-cut way that I can say to somebody, how do you know when you've been with something enough? I think that that's part of our individual journey of coming to know ourselves so that we can make the distinction between when we're using something to stay stuck and when we're still processing something.
Right. Okay. I'm going to have, we have a couple of callers on, and I'm going to open up the line just to see if they might have a question.
Wonderful.
All right. Now, this is a call from the 336 area code. Are you there? And do you have a question? All right. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Are you still there with us?
I am.
Seems like we're losing our signal.
Every once in a while, this happens on Blog Talk.
Hello?
Can you Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
But every once in a while, I have this problem with Blog Talk, and right now it's sounding very strange.
Okay, now it's better now.
It is?
Yes, yes.
Because it's very tinny at my end.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, let me ask you, so many people are struggling with this, just what you said, change and uncertainty. And what are some of the ways people can use during this transition period to their advantage?
Well, to answer your first question about how many people are struggling, I'd say millions. One of the things that's really interesting, and you are hearing me okay?
Yes, I'm hearing you fine now.
It's very interesting. Because at my end, it's very—it's not sounding that way, so I'm going to trust you on that.
Oh, okay.
I would, you know, as a broadcaster myself, I've been hosting teleseminars and radio shows for over 3 years, and I offer people when they sign up an opportunity to submit a question. And without, I don't want to say this, you know, I'm hosting calls tomorrow night, which I mentioned to you. I probably have over 80 pre-submitted questions, and half of them are on fear.
Wow, wow.
Easily. And I have over 500 people sign up for the calls. And that is probably one of the most consistent questions of fear, and also people are frightened about their future and, you know, just the questions about how do I attract more clients, how do I get more money. There's a lot of scarcity thinking
yeah.
right now, which is very, very fear-based. So to answer that question, I want to remind people of something that they may not be realizing, is that we in this country have gone through periods of intense transition for beyond decades, hundreds of years. This is very consistent. Now, what's different for us is that it's been about 50 years since we have experienced anything like this, since the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that there were certain regulations that were put into place in the United States to begin to interrupt some business practices that were happening that were creating these types of dips every 20 years. And what's happened is, you know, and I'm just kind of citing this information from what I've heard, so if I'm not 100% accurate, please excuse me. Some of those regulations have slipped,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons why we're in this current situation right now. Now, during times when there have been extremes, have been when some of the most innovative and ideas have emerged, as well as fortunes have been made, because people have taken these times for new innovation to occur. And so it takes foresight of people who are visionaries to seize these opportunities. And that's one of the things that becomes very important anytime you're going through a transition, whether it's a business transition or a personal transition, is that there are certain feelings that are very consistent. You know, change is an external experience. However, transition is a psychological an emotional experience. And so having some of the things that I've mentioned before, a strong support system, strong self-care, having some consistency of things that are well within your control becomes very important when we're going through times where we feel a loss of control. And also when we feel more fear, it's not unusual to get more controlling because we feel so helpless, which is a very uncomfortable feeling for a lot of people. So when people do feel helpless, sometimes they get angry instead because they feel more powerful in their anger. So having some of those systems and also looking at this as an opportunity. One of the things that I do every morning when I wake up is while I'm doing some of my morning prayer is to ask the question, what is mine to do today? So that I can tap into some of my inspiration and my guidance when I'm doing prayers, when I'm asking for help. I'm very spiritual, and so I encourage people to develop that spiritual relationship. And this is an incredible time on the planet right now where when things start to fall apart,
mm-hmm.
we start to ask some better questions like, what do I really cherish in my life? We get back to the basics, the people, as opposed
mm-hmm.
to the accumulation of things. You know, because when all is said and done, what do you really care about? Loved ones, you know, if you lost your car tomorrow, is that really going to make or break you? Yes, it would be annoying, but if you lost a loved one, would that hold the same energy if you didn't have your car, for example?
Right.
Or you didn't have a 42-inch flat screen TV. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong, but I think that with this shakeup right now, it's really asking us to look at and reevaluate what really matters most so that we can step out of the accumulation of things and come back to our reason for being, which is about creating and experiencing and you know, being love, you know, to emulate the qualities of the divine, that we are here to bring those qualities forward and to live prosperously. And living prosperously is not dependent upon the accumulation of things. It's, you know, when you have a conversation with somebody and you've lifted them, when you've experienced those moments where you're laughing, you know, to walk outside and see a beautiful sunset, there are so many things that enrich our lives. The people in your life bring richness, that we're expanding our viewpoint about what abundance really looks like and that it includes money but isn't limited to it.
That's right. That's right. Well, now this has just been a wonderful program. We're now coming to the end. It has come so fast. It's come so fast. But
yeah.
Again, I just want to thank you for all you've shared. And if you'll just share one more time critical information about how to get in touch with you and about your new program in September.
Thank you so much. I would love to do that. Well, you know, I would encourage people to go over to aligningwithdestiny.com. It's an incredible, incredible program that I teach with my business partner, Anita Petit-Claw. It's a breakthrough program that is starting just, you know, I guess about a month from now as I'm looking at the dates.
Right.
And for anybody who is feeling stuck and is looking for a program that delivers, that is truly life-changing, you know, we've taken a mind-body approach with this particular program, and not only do we give you incredible tools that people have, you know, are really using as a manual for life, we've including hypnosis meditations that help you to shift things on a subconscious. It's one of the richest programs I've ever seen, and if people go there and feel as excited as we are about the program, we have an early bird price that they can jump on and save up to $150. Off of the registration. It's an incredible program. It's all recorded. And then take a look at my site, powerful-living.biz. That's two L's, powerful-living.biz. If you have any questions or you want to just touch base and just ask me about anything, you can contact me through that location. You can look me up on Facebook. Go over to isayyesnow.com. There's resources in all of those three places that can help you to have a more prosperous and happy life no matter what's happening in your life.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Have a good night and just a wonderful week.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Shelton. I had a ball, and I look forward to connecting with you in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, you'll probably get an email from me.
Well, I look forward to it.
All right, then.
Thank you so much.
Yes, good night.
Good night.
Holy Spirit, give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark night will fade away. Speak to my heart now.
Speak to my heart.
Holy Spirit.
Message of love.
Love to encourage me.
Lifting my heart.
From the stand.
Love
me and
care for me.
Speak to my heart now. Give me the words, if I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide, and let your word abide there.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me
your holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know what to do.